Hello, I'm Paul.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Ben.
And welcome to the Film Busters podcast. The film show with no filters, no prisoners taken, loads of disagreements, but one hell of a love for cinema.
If you want to hear three friends ridiculing each other for an hour or so regarding their taste in films, then you have come to the right place.
In each episode, one of the team picks a film for us to discuss. It could be anything from a recent cinema release to an all-time classic.
So, strap in and get ready to get mad or get vindicated as we guide you through the murky world of being a film geek.
If you like what you hear, you can also find us on Twitter and Instagram using @FilmBustersPod. You can also find each of our individual accounts. I'm at FilmBustersPaul.
I'm at FilmBustersAdam.
And I'm at FilmBustersBen.
If you want to use your eyes instead of your ears, you can also visit the website at filmbusterspod.co.uk.
And if busting makes you feel good, you can also support us at patreon.com/filmbusters for exclusive content.
Or shoot over and get some groovy merchandise at society6.com/filmbusters.
All right, can we just get on with this now, please?
Filmbusters.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning now. Come on a safari with me.
I don't even know the song, but I'm feeling it.
Anyway, that's how we're opening up this episode today, everyone. Hello and welcome to Film Busters. Things are slightly different today.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It's very hot, number one. So I'm sorry if you can hear a fan, because it's too hot to record without one. As usual, we have gone back to record on the hottest day possible.
When was the last time we recorded on a really hot day?
Probably maybe beginning of the year, like May time when it was a bit hot.
That's true. Yes, when I first moved here, actually. I think we was a Razorhead. No, it was Straight Story. That was a very hot record. So it's an unusual record because I'm opening the show up, which I never get to do. I did it once before, and that was for one night in Miami.
And no one remembered it.
Well, it was a very memorable episode.
The film was memorable, but the opening wasn't.
Yeah, no, I don't remember how that opening was. But for keen listeners, any keen listener knows the last time I opened the show up was because we were absent Paul. And when we're absent Paul, that means somebody else steps in. Who do we have on the line?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Jenny here. Glad
that's
to be back.
Right.
Yeah, she's back. We let her back in the building.
Thank you.
And that is not because she's married to anybody who does this podcast.
Of course not. Yeah. Of course not.
All the benefits of being wedded to a podcast host means that you get all the perks that come with running your own podcast without any of the responsibility. So yes. You come to join us again. Welcome. You've gone from the lofty heights of One Night in Miami down to Jaws 2. Yes. Are you excited?
Absolutely. And thank you for having me once again. Cannot wait.
Well, thank you for coming back. We're looking forward to it.
I'm glad we didn't scare you away last time.
Well, let's see how this one goes.
All right. So, everyone knows this week's film is Jaws 2. Not the first Jaws. We're doing Jaws 2.
And yes. More memorable to some people.
Well, there you go. I'm sure many people might even prefer it to the first one. But we get to that. Before we talk about that beloved childhood classic, we got our quiz to do. Even
yes.
without Paul,
Wait.
We got our quiz to do.
Is Jenny hosting it then?
I have actually come prepared this time.
Woohoo!
Check me out. I have two nasty questions.
I hope Ben hasn't seen these questions before you start.
I can verify that he has not seen my questions. These are totally fresh questions, and I've
That's
tried
not
to
an
make
innuendo.
It. Not at all.
There you go.
Okay, before we start the quiz, I am going to turn my fan off because I have noticed it is coming up on the line, so I'm just going to have to deal with it.
Okay,
so
I'm sweating buckets over here, but yeah, I've got to do the same.
Oh, this is all going tits up now.
Why?
Has your recording stopped? That was a disaster. I knocked over my lovely bottle of cold water.
Oh no.
So my saving grace that the fan was off is now my water. But
That's not what you want.
I know.
To be fair, that's going to evaporate in like 10 seconds, so you're alright.
Yes.
But do you want to get a fresh glass of cold water?
No, it's fine.
You sure?
You might regret
Now's
that in
time.
About an hour.
Now's the time.
I've got some other water in here, so it's not just cold.
Backup water.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We'll keep all that in. We'll keep all that in. Leave all that in the edit, Paul. Just let it ride out. All right. So before Jenny answers the questions, which I haven't seen prior to this quiz, I'll remind you all of the scores. Adam is having a stunning year so far. He's top of the board with 21 points. I'm in second place, breathing down his neck, 3 points behind on 18. And Paul is coming up last, 6 points behind me with 12 points.
So and he can't even get any points today.
Well, he can. If you and I don't get the questions right, the points by default go to Paul.
Yeah, oh, that seems fair. Okay. So are we ready?
Yes.
Yes.
We are ready. And by the way, before you begin, just to clarify something, in last week's episode, everyone heard Adam steal a point from me in the quiz round.
No.
No. Jenny, completely unprompted by me, Adam, Jenny said to me after she listened to the recording that she doesn't think you should have got that point.
Oh,
why?
That's not accurate. That's not accurate. What I actually said.
Wow.
What I actually said was I could understand why Ben had been a little confused. It was the way Paul had phrased the question.
Not confused. Yeah, he did say something, but when has ever any question ever worked like that before?
It was the way he framed the question.
The problem is Paul often does questions where he says the one that's nearest, and therefore normally you'd both have time to answer the question. Whereas on this occasion, he'd almost phrased it in that way, but actually, you know.
I think you said, Ben, I don't know if it made it into the podcast or not, because I haven't listened to it back. But I think you said that you wouldn't have got that answer anyway.
Yeah, no, that is true. Because it was 400, wasn't it?
Yeah, something that's about the amount of money paid.
Indeed.
But just, the only reason I'm bringing it up is just for clarity's sake here, we are clarifying that is the first person to answer. That's it.
Yes, yeah, so I'm not doing anyone who's closest to the answer. So these questions are very much, you either know the answer or you don't.
There we go. Okay.
Simples. Yeah.
Jaws 2 questions.
Right, so I have one, I would say, technically hard question, depending on how much you're paying attention, and one easier question. So I'm going to go in with the hard question first. Yes. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, in the beginning of Jaws 2, which occasion is Brody rushing to attend?
The opening of a hotel.
Ben is correct.
It was close, Adam. What was the actual
official title of it?
A hotel.
Oh, I thought it was like the opening of a swimming pool addition to the hotel or something.
I mean, I could get why you said that, because that was the main feature, wasn't it, of the whole thing. But it was a new hotel, so Ben gets the point.
There we go. It's Jaws 2. All the points should be mine.
And that was my harder question, because I couldn't remember for the life of me what that was. I had to look it up. Okie dokie. Question number two. As I said, I think this is slightly easier. So, but again, remember, quickest one gets it. Brody shows a Polaroid to the town council as evidence that a shark has returned to the waters.
Seaweed and mud.
What is the Polaroid of?
The shark's eye. If I Adam, you jumped the gun.
I know I had to. I had to take risky there.
I like the way you think, though, because you went somewhere.
Explain that, actually, though. I don't even understand why Adam said that.
Because that's what the mayor says it is.
Ah, very good. That would have actually been an even better question.
Or, a bit of dirt on the lens or something.
I kind of want to give you, half a point for that, because that was actually quite clever.
It was clever.
I went for the simpler question, even though I couldn't say the word Polaroid.
Oh, Adam, if only you just held your tongue for a second, you might have got there.
Yeah, I reckon you'd still beat me to the answer. So when it comes to fastest finger, you're always there. So I thought, I've got to try and jump in before.
That is true. Well, look at that.
Well, what does that do to the scores then?
It's one behind me now.
1 point behind Adam for the first time this year since we began.
Wow.
We're just over halfway through the year as well.
I just needed my wife to do it. Thank you for those very good questions. I got them both right because I pay attention.
Well done.
Anyone wants to contest those questions, you can write in to idontgiveafuck@filmbusters.com.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is pretty much just Ben's Twitter account.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Well, I guess this would be the normal time where we would plug the Patreon episode that we're going to be releasing after this episode, but we're not doing one today because, as you can all tell, we're very busy at the moment.
You can see the guys on the way out, and they'll give you some bullshit reason why you can't have your money back if you speak to our customer service team, but
yes,
we're sorry. That's all we can say. We know you've been waiting a while. You're still very good guys. We do love you a lot.
But there will be another Patreon episode coming out very, very soon, and this is still the good time to plug it and tell you all that you can sign up to our Patreon for the cost of a Twix bar every month. If you're in the UK, a Twix bar. If you're
it's
in
slightly
America,
more than a Twix, though, isn't it?
No, because you can just for £1 you can be a patron for a month.
A Twix bar is like 75p.
Mate, when was the last time you went to Clapham Junction train station? They're not charging those 75p for a Twix.
That's because you're in a train station, you pleb.
Well, there you go.
No one buys anything in a train station. It's extortionate.
Well, we almost had to the other day.
That's what happens when your train gets delayed.
All right. So, anyway, that wasn't a very good plug. But basically, for the cost of something very cheap in your country of origin, you can listen to us. Well, what can they listen to us do, Adam?
We tell you about what films we watched each month. We talk about extra subjects. You can tell us what to talk about. You can come on the podcast. You have to buy a couple of Twix bars for that, though.
That's true. You need to buy the multi-pack in order to get on the podcast.
You get a t-shirt, don't you? Or some stickers. I can't remember what it is now.
T-shirt, stickers, video content, all of that business.
Yep. We'll add you into a little group. And people, you can talk to everybody there. And you can talk about what you've watched and stuff like that.
There you go. And if you want to do it, you go to patreon.com/filmbusters and just sign up. That's all you need to do. Just sign up. But anyway, let's give you what you're actually fucking here for. And that's some conversation about Jaws 2, the sequel.
Do-do-do-do. Well, there you have it. So here we are. Jaws 2 is my film. It was my pick this week. And in many ways, Adam and Paul ended up picking it for me because I couldn't make up my mind what film it was going to be. And you guys whittled it down and it became Jaws 2. So it's a communal pick. So what better way to start this off than by having you, Adam, give us a very detailed plot summary of Jaws 2.
Can't wait for this.
Here we
go. I'm just going to do 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 do.
That's good.
That is my plot summary.
Makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah, basically, Jaws is back. There's another great white in the ocean. Nobody quite believes it still. But Brody's there to save the day. Can he save the children at the lighthouse before Jaws gets there?
Do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like that sounds like the description on the back of a board game, release of Jaws.
Oh yeah, it does.
Yes.
Brody needs to get to the lighthouse before Jaws gets there. Can he save them? That should have been the tagline.
Yes.
Instead, the tagline was just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Jaws is back. Or Bruce is back. Whoever you want to call him.
Became one of the most popular taglines ever in film, that, you know?
Brilliant tagline for a sequel.
That is pretty good.
Brilliant.
Right, anyway, before we go to our first impressions, everyone, I'll give you a little bit of trivia. So Jaws 2 was directed by, I don't know how you say this person's name, I think it's Jeanette Schwartz, in 1978. That was 3 years after the release of Spielberg's original. Roy Scheider, Lorraine Gary, and Murray Hamilton all return in their roles as Chief Martin Brody, Ellen Brody, and Mayor Larry Vaughan, doing his best Boris Johnson impression. Like the production of the original film, the production of Jaws 2 had many, many problems. And in fact, there were so many problems and so many things were going on behind the scenes that I'm not even going to be able to detail it all in this trivia section. It will come up in conversation as we go through. But there's so many crazy things that were going on. The first director for this film got fired, and then this new director, Jeanette Schwartz, stepped in. But then Roy Scheider, who plays Brody, could not get on with this director, and they actually ended up having a fist fight on set. And the producers had to step in and say, look, you need to get this sorted. So Roy Scheider wrote this letter to the director detailing all the ways that he had upset him and saying, look, this is what I need you to say, and this is what I need you to do in order for us to get past it. And the director just wrote him a letter back that basically said, this isn't about you, this isn't about me, this is about the film, so just grow up and let's make the film. Nonetheless, Roy Scheider wanted to do justice to Brody, so he put in a good performance. He didn't want this film to be all about the shark. He didn't want it to just be a case of people turning up for the shark. He was like, Brody needs to have some context and strength. And so he did that. This film was the highest grossing sequel in movie history.
Really?
Until the following year.
Godfather.
When what sequel came out in 1979? It's not Godfather.
Star Wars?
No.
I don't think really know that decade of film.
Well, think late 70s, just about to become the 80s. There was a really big film that got a sequel, and since then there's been multiple other entries in this film series as well. But this second film became the highest grossing sequel in history.
I want to say Back to the Future, but that's too early. I mean, too late.
Too early, yeah.
Gosh, I don't know.
Sports film.
Sports film? I'm the wrong person to ask here.
No, you're not. You've seen it.
Rocky?
Rocky 2 is the answer.
Really? Oh, Jesus. When you say sports film,
so
I
that
think
earned
like
more
football,
money. This film got more money than The Godfather 2.
Based on that logic.
When did
Godfather
2?
Was
two?
Like 1975.
I mean, listen. The thing about it is, Jaws was a phenomenon.
Yeah, it was.
I thing. Know The Godfather was huge, but everyone knew
it.
Jaws.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not saying the film is better than Godfather 2. It's just
no,
the
I'm
level
I'm
of
just
expectation.
I just thought the size of the film that The Godfather is.
Right, hang on a minute. Let's have a look at this. Godfather 2 grossed $48 million at the box office. Jaws 2 grossed...
probably more than that, though. That 48
Jesus
is a lot lower than
Christ, 208 million.
Wow.
Almost five times as much as The Godfather Part 2.
I mean, that's some good marketing right there.
Do you have to really market it?
But that's it. It markets itself. People were going to go out and see that film regardless.
I suppose so. Scares you shitless, but you want more.
What did Jaws 3 do? Or did
Jaws
they leave it too
3
long?
Got 87,900, but think about inflation because that was 1983. And then Jaws the Revenge got 51,000. So all of them actually took more than The Godfather Part 2 at the box office.
Mad. You heard it
but
here first.
Adjusted for inflation, The Godfather Part 2 probably did better.
Wow.
Anyway, with all that in mind, let's have some reviews, shall we? So the order I want to go in is Adam, Jenny, and then me.
Okay.
Very good.
And Paul will be slotted in here somewhere if
Paul,
he ever watches
yes, that's
the film.
True.
I don't know if he's going to watch it in time. We don't know. He's a very busy boy at the moment. He's got a little boy to look after. And he's got some work to look after.
Yeah, we haven't even explained why he's not around. I don't know why he's not around. We're just all very busy at the moment.
He can't
it's been
really
a,
record
it's been
an
a pinch
evening because he's got a baby. Because that was his fault.
Yes. He couldn't keep it in his pants, and he didn't put something on the end of it Yeah. So now he can't podcast. Now he can't come out to podcast anymore.
My.
He also busy at work.
And also, we're just an addendum. We're going to have a period of guest appearances over the next few episodes because I will be disappearing for one or two episodes because me and Jenny are going on holiday for our first one since all this COVID stuff. So we're going to Scotland. And,
I'm going to say not abroad, but...
Not abroad, no.
Next best thing.
So best thing. I won't say who the guest is, but someone will be filling... Someone will be more than capably filling my shoes while I am away.
I think I'm going to be the only staple guy around here sooner or later.
It's true, yeah.
You'll be the only consistent film buster.
Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, since COVID kicked off, you're the only film buster who's been around the whole time because you disappeared right before COVID took off.
I missed a couple, and then I didn't do Frozen 2 because I didn't want to
watch
Frozen
2, and you didn't do The Gentlemen.
Yeah.
And then COVID struck, and you were there for everything.
I know.
So there's some upsides to COVID. We got to have
loyalty, you guys.
That's true. Anyway, Adam, let's have your review. Jaws
what
2.
Did I think of this film? So I watched this film for the first time in, was it December we worked out in the last podcast, Ben? Something
that's
like that.
Right.
And I was expecting more, and I gave it a 6 out of 10 back then. But rewatching it now, I don't know if there was something about this film. I enjoyed it a lot more the second time around. I had so much more fun with it. I could kind of step back and appreciate it a bit more and think I knew what I was getting myself in for. What you said about the facts about the whole director and it being like changing director and stuff, makes a lot more sense now because I felt this film was quite messy in places and it had the potential to be really good moments, but it almost like they cut corners or there was something going on behind the scenes where they just didn't put that little bit of extra effort into it. And I enjoyed it a lot more, and I'm going to upgrade it to an 8 out of 10.
Wow, you went from 6 to an 8.
Yeah, I was sitting on a 7, but I was like, no, I actually thoroughly enjoyed this film this time around.
Okay.
And I watched the first one as well a couple of days before, and I enjoyed it more.
Well, very good. Thank you for that, Adam. We will discuss what you said directly, but first we will hear from Jennifer to hear what she has to say.
Oh, why am I getting Jennifer? Jesus.
Well, because now we're in formal podcast mode. I can only call you Jenny behind the curtains, behind the scenes, all of that stuff.
According to Wizard of Oz now, okay.
Beneath the veil.
So, what were my thoughts on this film? So,
be honest.
I am going to be honest. I've got no one to impress here. So my thoughts on this film were, I'd never seen this film before. Obviously, I had seen Jaws more than once, but again, I haven't actually seen Jaws an awful lot. And I can't even say when I last saw Jaws. We're talking years and years ago, and we literally, myself and Ben, went into this film fresh, so I hadn't even seen Jaws before it. But of course, it's one of those plots that you don't forget. I enjoyed this film. I did enjoy this film. It felt very true to what you would expect after the first film. You know, the guy's gone through this crazy trauma. Of course, it wasn't just business as usual. Like, of course, he was going to be plagued by it. So I like psychology. I like that psychological element to the film of, you know, how has this upstanding man, you know, of the community, how has he actually so-called got over what's happened to him? And obviously, clearly, he's not got over it. And of course, you know, I think, what was it, 3 years after the first film? So he's had a couple of years where it seemed like, okay, you know, we've got rid of that now, we can go try and go around business as normal. And then, of course, another shark, who knows where it's come from, has now reared its head. So I thought, yeah, this is very true to what you would expect. It was a bit of fun, you know. It's certainly not a film to take too seriously. I felt entertained. There was a couple of things that I might have had issue with, but nothing in a serious way. I would give it a solid 7 out of 10.
Hey.
7.
7.
7. So, I kind of knew all that. Obviously. We lived together, so of course I knew that.
You didn't know what my rating was, though.
No, I didn't know your rating. No, that's true.
But no surprises there, I guess.
We're on for a good one here, I think.
Well, you don't know how I feel. Maybe I can change my mind.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, when I was growing up, I loved it because I loved the first Jaws. Jaws is what was on constant rotation when I was growing up as a kiddie. I used to act it out and all of that business. And then I started to... I had it on VHS tape, actually. Jaws 2 and Jaws 3 I had on VHS tape. And then I had Jaws the Revenge, which I had taped off telly. And I never really watched Revenge that much. But I watched 2 and 3 quite a lot. But 2 more than 3. And I always thought that 2 was a very, very worthy sequel. Because it's like, you can't capture the magic of that first Jaws. Because Jaws was lightning in a bottle. You can never capture that first moment of seeing the shark burst out of the water. The chemistry of them aboard that boat. And the climax. What happens with that shark? You can't do that again. So the best thing is to continue the story, and it's basically the same story, but it invites a new element. It brings the kids into it, and it brings kids, which I said to Jenny after we watched it, is these kids in any other film, particularly a film that is made now, and all the sort of shitty shark films that are made now, the kids, the teenagers in it are annoying as fuck. One of them is sleeping with someone else's friend. Someone's a drug dealer. Someone's a bully. Someone's a nerd. This and that and all of that. Whereas all of these kids are very watchable. And you kind of care about them all. Because very quickly you realise that they're all in the same shit situation together. And they pull together for the most part. And that is what makes it scary. In a way that it has no right to be. Because we've seen the shark in Jaws 1. In this one, we shouldn't really be scared anymore. And it's not the visual of the shark that scares us. It's these kids getting picked off one by one by this big beast from below. It's
more the situation this time around.
It's the situation, yeah. And the ticking clock of Brody's kids being out there and Brody having to go back in the water because his kids are out there. And they've got the mayor's kids out there. And the fact that the mayor still doesn't believe, despite having gone through it all. I think watching it in COVID times and seeing Boris Johnson's response to COVID over the last year makes it resonate doubly hard. Because if we hadn't gone through COVID, I think the mayor in this film just not believing Brody again and sticking his head in the sand, people go, oh, come on, that's unbelievable. He knows there was a shark before. This is Boris Johnson. He said as much. So it resonates.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the money. It's all about the tourist attraction. Yeah. And it's all about maintaining a status quo that everything is okay. Mm. Our bloody Prime Minister said to Dominic Cummings, I want to be the mayor from Jaws. Does he not understand the mayor from Jaws is a villain? Does he not understand that? He's got the blood on the hands. But anyway, that aside, I love Roy Scheider's return as Brody. I think there's really scary moments in it. I think the shark design is really very good. And I like the fact that they know that the shark, everyone knows what the shark looks like. So they showed a shark early. And the tension at sea in the second half is great. I really enjoy it. I think it's a very worthy sequel. And I give it an 8 out of 10. 2.
Hey.
Hey. Very good.
Love so, yeah, when I, so, sorry, when I talk about, when I first watched this film the first time around, in my head, I remember the film dicking around for ages before you got to the action. But this time, well, not the action, but the shark happening and all of that. But this time, I was like, why did I think that? It goes you straight in the deep end. You're basically back into the same first film. I remember them thinking, oh, they wasted like the first hour of this film and it only really took place in the second hour. But looking back, I was like, no, I really remember that. And well, the excitement of when they were all going to go back out on the boat again. I was like, oh, okay, I remember this bit. I remember this bit being good. And but I also remember the kids being really irritating the first time around, but they, like you said, they aren't.
No.
Like, he's really nice to his brother, bringing his brother out as well, even though he doesn't really want to. But
puts him in jeopardy, but yeah.
All that kind of stuff, though, isn't it?
Almost kills him.
Yeah, but he didn't know that.
He didn't know that.
Well, didn't he? So let's put it out there. So this is, we're talking here about Brody's kids, who both know what their dad went through in the previous film. In fact, Michael, the older one, was in the water with the great white in Jaws, the first one, and Jaws swam right up to him and just missed him. So he knows full well how bad a shark is. So when your dad is saying, don't go out in the water in this film, I think Michael is a little bit fucking responsible.
Yeah, but then he also kind of, with the rest of the townspeople, nobody believes him because he can't prove it. Like, he feels like his dad's gone crazy, like he's been shooting at the bluefish.
That's
and
the issue,
all of that
isn't
kind
it?
Of stuff. People it's a bit like Boy Who Cried Wolf kind of thing.
Or also, is it just his anxiety and that post-traumatic stress? Or is it a real threat?
Yeah.
And also, we're dealing with kids here. You know, they don't think long-term. They think short-term. So even if he could remember...
Also, he thinks he's going to get laid as well, and that kind of...
Well, there you go, you see. Come on, guys. Let's admit it. This is why he's sneaking out.
Well, you know what it is?
It's not just have a fun day out in the water, is it?
It is like the COVID thing. Because with COVID, the youngsters wanted to go out. Because they're like, oh, these are the best years of our lives that we're missing here.
But it is. That's the thing. You can't argue with them. That's literally what it's all about. Those years. You don't get them back, do you?
No, I know. But then that impetuousness of wanting that puts you in the jaws.
It's a risk. It's a risk that obviously they felt it was worth
There's
taking.
A lot of COVID connotations from this film.
Not
really that the same, isn't it?
The Jaws film resonates even more in COVID times because of it. The shark suddenly becomes this huge metaphor. But anyway, we're not here to talk about COVID. I would like to just say that I very much appreciated the fact that the film opens up with you seeing the boat from the first Jaws, which I never remembered, and that the divers are investigating it, because it's like, okay, we're literally picking up where we left off here. Here's that ship, remember this? And then the shark attacks. Now, where do you think this second shark comes from? Do you think it's related to the shark from Jaws?
No, it's just another great white.
That's what I said, wasn't it?
They're both
it?
Great whites. They're not like in the Meg, where there's like the Megalodon's out or anything like that. It's...
But are they brother and sister?
In Jaws, they're just
son.
They're just great white sharks, aren't they? And there's loads of them.
Just random.
So it just happens to be waters where great white sharks are, because there's now four of them.
Yeah, but number three and number four aren't all set in Amity. Number three is set in SeaWorld, and number four...
Is it?
Yeah.
What, does the shark go wild at SeaWorld? It's like killing everyone.
Yeah, the shark in Jaws 3... is they kidnap a baby shark, right, and they put it in the park as a showpiece to get tourists in, and the shark's mother finds its way into the park because she's looking for her baby, and she makes her way into, like, this fictional SeaWorld has got all these labyrinths and stuff, all these tunnels that people can walk through, and the shark makes it in there.
She just walks right through.
That sounds cool, to be fair.
And then the fourth one starts in Amity and then ends in Jamaica. The shark literally follows Ellen Brody from Amity.
Well, where do you reckon Jamaica. Amity is? I reckon it's off the coast of, like, Miami.
It's Maine, isn't it? It's got to be Maine or something. Oh, no, it wouldn't be Maine. I don't know.
I thought it was off the coast of, like, Miami or something like that. Down
I was
going to
say, it looks quite hot.
Like, almost like the Caribbean, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I suppose. It's an island, don't forget, though.
Yeah.
But it's a little island.
There must be some
often
islands off the coast. I don't know. Maybe Nerdrovert and Julio can tell us.
Yes, come on, Texans, tell us. Where is Amity based?
I'm sure it's Google fictional, though, right?
Yes, it is fictional for sure, yeah.
But what is it based on?
Where was it filmed?
Oh, Martha's Vineyard, which is where? Massachusetts, there you go.
The spirit of Massachusetts. That's way too hot. That's where Massachusetts is, up north.
Right, Martha's Vineyards. I'm looking at it on a map here now. Martha's Vineyard
is off
of...
The spirit of Massachusetts is the spirit of America. It's filmed in Florida.
How's it filmed in Florida if they use Martha's Vineyard for the island?
Well, they also says Martha's Vineyard on here.
Yeah, I'm looking at Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
Might have been filmed on multiple locations.
But it's the island,
Martha's
isn't it?
Vineyard, Massachusetts is basically Canada. And that does not look like Canada.
Massachusetts is not Canada. It's just it's up that bit of the coast.
Yeah, it's anyway, right next to Canada.
It's moving up. It's but actually looking at it, it's between like New York and Maine. So,
oh well, Ben's right.
Kind of right.
It looks way too hot to be like that.
Anyway,
it did, to be fair, but
that's more northern on the map than
maybe
England,
they were having a
heat
wave at the time.
Yeah. Anyway. Enough about the location.
Any hoozles. Not a geography lesson.
I know. Let's go through the kills. So very quickly, we see the shark is out. After we introduce the Brody and all that, and we see what's been going on, we see the shark underwater while one of the teens is getting sort of like bobbed in the water while he's paragliding. That's almost like start. Bait. Good start.
A bit of tension going on.
Bit of tension. Almost snaps his bottom, but doesn't quite. Gets lifted out of the water. But that annoys the shark. And so the shark then goes hunting that woman what's she doing? What do you call it?
Water skiing.
Off the back of the boat. Water skiing, yes. That's a very good shot.
She was so graceful, wasn't she? They like that scene was going on and on and on and on and on. It was just like,
it was.
I love the little old lady in that bit, and she's like, they were just having fun, and the next minute they're dead. It's like, that's such a sad way of looking at it.
Well, what other way of looking at it is there?
Yeah, but someone just says, oh, look, they're out there having the time of their lives, and the next minute they're blown up.
There you go. That's COVID, baby. Anyway,
you're going to lose a point now. From now on, every time you mention COVID in relation to the shark, which is yours, you're going to lose a point off the quiz.
Similar to when we were doing the Meg and we weren't allowed to mention Jaws.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning it every 5 minutes, even though you weren't supposed to. But they set their markers out early, because I think this is to the film's credit as well. Like I said, they can't hide the shark away, because everyone knows what a shark is. So bring it forefront. We said that
is it the same shark as the first film? Did they use the same model, or did they reckon they'd rebuild them?
They used the same body, the mechanical body, but all the skin had like rotted off it.
Yeah.
It was in a back lot at Universal, I think. So they had to repurpose the robot skin, and they built.
And is that why they built burnt a new it head. Up then?
I think possibly they burnt it up to make it just give it that more menacing look.
Well, it looked,
perhaps
it got burnt in the boat fire.
Literally there, yeah. When that boat went kapow, after that shark was fucked up.
That's a good opening. That's a very good opening attack for the shark. That really sets the bench out to say, look, we're not fucking around with this now.
I like the fact that it seemed like maybe the lady who's driving the boat might actually survive.
She poured petrol over herself. To be fair, she doesn't deserve to survive. Yeah, she doesn't deserve to survive.
Is that what she did?
She poured petrol over herself and then set off a flare. It's like, the shark is the least of your worries in this situation. You are the biggest danger to yourself in this situation. Forget the shark. To get the shark,
it was pretty bad.
You're going to die in normal life anyway.
Oh man!
Well, that's a very explosive way to kick off the film. Now you know you're not fucking around.
It's pretty good.
We got a Scarface shark.
Killer, normal dates.
It was fucked.
And then, so after that, they do it. But Brody doesn't know yet. Brody doesn't really know yet.
No, at this point, they think it's just a boat's exploded, and that's it.
Yeah, his suspicions are aroused though. When he talks to that lady, he's like, "Dude,
yes." He's giving those funny, he's giving those moody looks out at the ocean.
Yes.
Like, I know something's going on here. And then, if he was in any doubt, the next thing he sees that makes him convinced is that big whale carcass.
Ah, yes.
The orca.
And that was the name of the boat.
Good spot.
That's right.
I never really did that.
Yeah.
That is right.
The signs were there.
The signs were there if the orca sunk.
The orca had a bite chunked out of it, and then the real orca.
Now, this was the only time that I thought the effects didn't look too good in the film, because I really appreciate the shark effects, but this whale looked a little too fake. It looked too...
It's
plastic.
The 70s. I'm surprised they didn't actually just kill a real whale and put it on the beach.
Yes, well, if they had done that, I would not be watching film.
I was going to say, animal rights activists might have something to say about that.
Yes. And I'm sure Brody would have put a bullet in the head of whoever had done that. Like he nearly put a bullet in the head of that little boy when he was shooting everyone out of the water because of the bluefish.
But what was with this bloody woman who is meant to be an expert? Every time he's saying, well, that could be a shark. It could have been a shark that caused it. She's going, well.
Yeah. She was very annoying.
It could have, but probably not.
In the first Jaws, the expert's very helpful.
Mr. Hooper, they also call Hooper. Then both of you may have missed the moment where Brody walks in and he's talking to his wife and he says something like, I tried to reach Hooper, but he's going to be on the Aurora for 9 months. So he means he tried to reach him. He wanted him to come and help him with the shark problem.
Because Hooper does talk about going on this boat for 9 months when he's
sitting
down. There you
go, and he actually does it. You're right, he does. You're right. And he finally made it onto that.
Oh, that's a nice little throw.
Oh, that's a nice happy ending for him then.
Yeah. So, as a side note, Spielberg and Richard Dreyfuss, who played Hooper, at the time that they were making Jaws 2, Spielberg was making Close Encounters of the Third Kind with that actor, and they were both interested in coming back for Jaws 2, but the studios weren't willing to wait for them to finish that film.
Really?
So it went ahead without him. So we could have had Brody Hooper back. It would have been lovely to have Hooper back. I love him.
That would have been nice. Oh. Hey ho.
But yeah, she was a very annoying person who seemed very bored to be there and was dismissing everything he said.
Yeah, she was just like inconvenienced, just taking her time. She's like looking at this ginormous fucking chunk that's been bitten out of this whale, and she's like, well, you know, there could be multiple reasons. And he's like, yeah, but a shark, could a shark be one of them? Well,
she's like, all the other little fishes bit them, wasn't it?
I can't remember what she said as an alternative explanation, but it was ridiculous, wasn't it?
I think she said a boat propeller.
Oh, yeah.
Boat propeller might have done it. But yeah. Brody wasn't convinced. He fucking knew. And that's when he says to his son.
I think that bear had paid her off.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting about the mayor in a minute. So Brody at this moment tells his son, hey, don't take your boat back. Oh. Stay out of the water. Just for me. Just for me. Stay away.
And he's like, dad.
He does it,
but he's obedient. He's a good boy. Michael's a good boy. He listens. Even though he wants to get his end away with that girl's cousin who's come to town, he's a good boy. And then the next day, Brody is atop that tower. And this is where we get our...
the paranoia is on.
Blue fish, baby blue fish.
So when we were watching that, it is hard to tell if the shadow is moving or not.
That's
there's only
the problem.
A certain point.
He's like staring at it. They do say if you stare at something long enough, you know. But it's just like, is that moving? I don't even know what made him switch when he's just like, everyone out of the water.
It turns in. It gets it because for a while
it comes towards
and it's going across, and then suddenly it turns in and starts moving towards the swimmers. And that's when he rings his bell. Ding 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 ding! Everybody out! Ding 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 ding!
Gets his gun out, starts flaying it around at kids.
He literally points it dead head at a little kid running out of the water.
It's like a 4-year-old boy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's fucking young.
It's like, okay, this is happening.
And then he shoots into the water, and it turns out just to be bluefish. And the guy shouting, "It's just bluefish!" And then he's left on his knees picking up the bullets.
That guy should have got an Oscar.
Should have got an Oscar. He was milking the thing.
But how the mighty have fallen.
Well, we know he was right. Everyone else
not
is
not on that occasion, though.
The next bit is when I started to really enjoy this film. I was like, okay, this was a brilliant scene.
And which one?
The bit with the photo development. I don't know if I've skipped a bit far ahead now. Have I?
No, that's the next
thing.
It's
after the cyanide bullets, isn't it? But
that's the next thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's when he's watching that photo developer. I was like, I do not remember this. This is brilliant. This is a great bit of tension in the film. Like,
that is...
He's just watching this thing slowly develop and just...
Yes.
He's like, oh, shit. You can just see it dawning on his face.
Yeah.
And then you get the
snap
straight away.
And he knows,
right,
he knows what a shark's eye looks like
still.
As well.
And now you're like, how can you not believe him?
Those black eyes, like a doll's eyes.
Like a doll's eyes. So he goes to this council meeting... And they're all like, no, none of this. And then they end up voting him out.
Yep.
I know. I feel so bad for him. He's so excited. He's holding on to this evidence. He's like, I finally got it. I've got my proof. And what do they say it is, Adam?
Seaweed and mud.
Oh,
there you go.
A bit of dirt on the lens.
Here's something interesting that I found out. There's a deleted scene, which I personally wish they had kept in the film, where when they go into the back room and the mayor says, just give us a couple of minutes, Martin. They go in the back room. In the scene, they take a vote to get rid of him as chief. And the mayor is the only one to say he doesn't want to get rid of him.
Because he deep down inside, he knows that he's probably actually right.
Yeah.
But that's why they kept it out. That's why
they should have
kept
that in. That would have added real good depth to
it. It was a bit sudden that he got kicked out, wasn't it? It was almost like, oh, you're gone now.
Yeah, but I can get that. It's not so much that I was like, oh, now he's fired.
No, but I mean, in the film, just in general, it's like, the only really kind of, for me, only really like, oh, he's actually been kicked out when he goes home to see his mum, or his wife, sorry.
His mum.
She acts like his mum most of the time.
Oh, it's true.
It's true.
There's that bit at the beginning when he's opening up the hotel room And that this boss is like, oh, I don't know what I could do without her. And he's like, yeah, nor do I. Like, fuck off. She's my wife. Stop trying to fucking...
Yeah, exactly. Stop trying to flirt with her, because he was very inappropriate touching that other councilman.
Yeah, the way he looked at her when she walked away, it's like...
Anyway, he goes home drunk. Jack Daniels hands over the chief badge to his little deputy, who's very cute.
He's like, I'm happy for you. It's like, yeah. I don't think you are.
I think he was.
He's like,
though.
I don't want the job.
He was like, if it's going to anyone, I want it to go to you, kind of thing.
Yeah. Although that guy is no Chief Brody.
It's fucking hopeless, that guy. Bless him. Bless his cottons. But Jesus, can you imagine? Not
good intentions, but highly ineffective.
Yes.
So then he goes to bed, wakes up hungover, and soon discovers that fucking Michael and Sean ain't around. They are out on the water.
Yes.
Well, it takes them a while, though, doesn't it? They only check one of the bedrooms, and they all go down. Him and his wife have their breakfast. They chill.
They probably thought, brand new day here. I don't have a job to get to. I need to stay in bed and shag my wife all day. And little did he know, that was going to be ruined.
Little did he know.
And then we have what is the equivalent of the final hour of Jaws. Because, Adam, what you were saying about when you watched in your memory, you thought it took ages to get going.
Yeah.
That's kind of the Jaws factor as well. It works.
Yeah, because, when I watched the first film, it takes ages a while to build to get up. Going
I agree.
One. But that's but the whole time you're watching that, you're excited to see the shark. Like, you're waiting to see the shark, aren't you? That's why all the tension is building up to that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whereas this time, we're getting that suspense because we know that it's not going to be Brody that's under threat. It's going to be his offspring. And we're waiting for him to rebel and dash off into the night / early morning.
But see, even when he rebels, like he's a good kid, really. It's annoying that he doesn't listen to his dad, but they're all good kids. That's the thing. It's not like... If this was a modern film, you would have that Michael. You would have him being like some really moody teenager who doesn't gel with his dad at all and like, oh, fuck you, I'm going to go out and do what I want. Whereas it feels much more believable and much nicer for it to just be like, Michael's like, I want to protect my dad's feelings, but I want to go out on this boat, so I'm going to do that as well. Michael's a good kid. He just fucked up with this one.
What would you have done, Ben?
Yeah.
Well, I would have probably gone out as well. But I wouldn't that he fucked up by taking Sean. I know Sean was going to dob him in because he was like...
See, this is a problem. Like, I could see why he took him because the kid was like, what was he saying? If you don't take me, I'm going to...
Tell mum and dad.
I'll tell mum and dad. Yeah, he was going to be like, Michael. And then he was like, all right, come on.
Yeah, there you go. So he thought, I've got this far. I'm not going to let my baby brother ruin it for me.
Yeah.
So come on. And then palms him off to that girl.
Yeah, he was using it. He was using his little brother's charm to try and show that he's a good big brother.
Yeah.
Well, then they all go out into the water and it's all like amazing and it's a beautiful day and they're all excited and it's almost like they're racing each other and it's like, oh, to the lighthouse.
There isn't a problem in the world.
Yeah, literally, like, can't remember what the music was, but it was all very... like upbeat and fun and you know that like they're gonna have this like most memorable day of their lives. Little did they know.
Well, they remember the day, don't worry about that.
They remember
it for the rest of their life, my god.
Memorable for slightly different reasons.
All of that music, by the way, is the same guy who did the first one, John Williams.
Yeah.
Same guy who did the Jaws theme. He sort of like, I like that he made it a bit more, I don't know, it made it more expansive. That original Jaws theme is very, you know, it's all variations of that, whereas this was a little grander.
Yep, I agree.
So yes, they were having a whale of a time, and then they passed those divers who were going down for lobster, and this is where we get the second attack on a diver, and that guy comes up for air and gets like the bends.
Yeah, he gets it's blood all out of his nose, isn't it? Was that the first guy?
They call it the bends.
Is that what it is?
It's when you come up too quick from underneath and the oxygen levels in your blood, it makes your veins...
expand or something, doesn't it?
It makes them rigid like twigs or something like that, I think. They say.
Something like that. And if you don't like blood, like I don't, Yes. I'd rather not discuss it.
We won't talk about the rigid veins.
He's very deep down in the water and he gets spooked, obviously, because he's a ginormous white shark. So he's like, I need to fucking get out of here, but of course...
I can't even remember how that shark encounter happens. It doesn't take a bite out of him or anything. How does he even see the shark?
He sees it when he's swimming and he just jumps up, doesn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't take a bite out of him, but it comes pretty close.
It's enough to make you shit yourself. Especially scared of sharks, then.
Especially scared of me, scared of sharks. I'm, mate.
I think everyone's scared.
If you're in the water with a great white shark, you're gonna be scared.
I'll give him a little pat on the head.
I'm scared of shark attacks, mate. That's like saying, especially you, who's scared of guns. Yes, because a gun can kill me.
That's why I don't like snakes.
But yeah, this is when we catch wind of the fact that the shark is nearby.
Yes.
Yes. And we see, and that's right, after that, as he emerges to the surface, we see the shark sort of moving off in the direction of all of these kids on these boats. And I got to say, all of the subsequent attacks by the shark on the boat, by these kids, is executed very well, because they managed to do something good. First, he picks off that one lone boat, Tina and her boyfriend, which is chilling, man, very chilling. But then he manages to make all the other boats collide together, so they become like this unit.
I thought these kids were meant to be good sailors. They're shit,
mate. They're all trying to avoid that bloody shark attack.
Yeah, but they can avoid each other at the same time.
Not when they're panicking. They're little kids.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but they must have learnt that somewhere to like bring themselves together.
What, they all crashed into one another?
They do it deliberately. They all throw ropes over to each other and they drag each other.
That's true.
You're harder to capsize, aren't you? If you can't.
I don't know. I haven't been a sailor. I wouldn't know.
Out of all of this section with these attacks here, what's your favourite bit?
Well, I don't know if it'd be my favourite bit, but the bit that I said it at the time, didn't I, Ben? The bit that stood out for me was when that bloody woman who's looked after the little kid. What's the little kid's name?
Sean.
Sean. She's taken him under her wing. She's looking after him that whole bloody time. He then falls in. So she goes in after him to save him. Totally, like, heroically saves him. And then what happens to her?
Now she gets gobbled up.
She gets full on, like, engulfed. Full on, like, munched. Seconds. Like, that gone.
He just sit there. He's all scared for himself.
And he just sat there. But that would be traumatising for that kid. The one fucking useful woman in this whole bloody film, and that's what she gets for it.
I think there were other... Ellen Brody is a very useful woman.
We can get onto that in a bit.
Well, Brody is. Ellen Brody, she's very good. Well, if you don't think she is, you might like Jaws the Revenge, because she's the main character in Jaws the Revenge.
Oh, okay.
It's all about her. We'll talk about them other ones at the end. Okay. I agree with that. That attack is very... because the shark is big, it's and ruthless. They shoot it so well that because she's slipping...
It comes out of the water, doesn't it?
But they build it up by her trying to get on, and her hand is slipping on that boat, and she's going, I can't get up, I can't get up. And then they do a shot of the shark underneath the water at the surface, slowly coming up. And then they shoot from behind... her, and then that head coming up and just completely, as you say, engulfing her.
Completely.
They built a rig, a saddle, for the shark to accomplish some of those shots where the camera is on the back of the shark. They put a saddle on the back of this robot shark and had the cameraman sit on it to get those shots.
That's a fun day at work.
I like the one where when the boy and girl are going to have sex on the boat, and then he gets knocked in the water, and then he's on one side of the boat and the shark's on the other side of the boat, and
it's like for the longest time she's like, come on, just swim.
It picks him up as well, doesn't it, the shark, and brings him to the boat. It's like toying with him.
Yeah,
it grabs him in the mouth and then slams him in. But what can you do in that situation? If you're that boy or you're that girl, the girl can do nothing other than say, swim, there's a shark. And if you're that boy, all you can do, your only hope is let me get to that
he
boat.
He might not die of blood loss, because all of the blood's probably in his cock, not in his legs. So,
very clever.
If he lost a leg, he might not bleed out too quick.
That's true. That's true. Adam charming as ever.
Yeah. Goodness me. Yeah, they don't teach that, do they, when you're trying to survive at sea?
No. They don't say, get a hard on, and hopefully... you'll be all right.
If only he'd known. But yeah, that was quite a dramatic death, wasn't it? Now I think about it, because it literally it all comes towards her, and there's nothing she can do.
Well, she was very scared, wasn't she? She was all curled up on the boat.
Oh my god, yeah.
But how believable was she? She was brilliant acting, I thought.
She was good, yeah. She was good at being scared.
She did scared very, very well. When they come and collect her, and she's hidden underneath.
Because they don't even see her, do they? Brody gets onto the boat, and he's looking around, and he's going, what's happened here? What's happened here? And then he just finds her tucked in the corner, shaking like a leaf. But that's it, isn't it? You know, fucking traumatic shit.
Well, that's the first time that Brody realizes, well, not realizes, that's where it's confirmed to him that there's a shark, because she screams shark.
Finally. And she takes her time before she even says it, but then when she finally says it, it's just like, right, this is on.
Yeah.
This is on.
So then he says, Ellen, you go back with the deputy, I'm going out by myself.
Yep. She doesn't question it. She's like, all right, see ya.
Yes. And we get some good shots here. We get Michael being knocked unconscious in the water and then just pulling him on the boat in time, just as the shark just squeezes up.
Yep.
We get the helicopter coming down.
Oh, that was hard. Ballsy. That was hard. I didn't believe it for a second, but when you see them and they're waving, it's like the sound of music. They're like, oh, hooray, we're saved. And it's just like, guys, seriously. And I said this to you, Ben, didn't I? I said, why didn't they? I know that they wouldn't, because they're just so focused on, you know, their escape. But why wouldn't they, like, tell him, like, FYI?
I know.
It's, like, literally right around here.
I wonder, I don't know. I've always kind of assumed that it was an unspoken thing. Like, he knew. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. I kind of assumed
that
he knew.
He was so relaxed. He was just like, don't worry, guys. I'll get you out here in a jiffy. It's just like, yeah, okay. Let's see how that pans out.
But he was going to tow them to Cable Island. That was the plan.
Yeah, I know.
Until the shark thought better of it.
Yeah, just thought, I don't think so, mate.
And this is the thing. The film is silly, but it works because, of course, the shark not chomping down on a helicopter in real life. But we know that. We're not watching it for accurate depictions. It is just believable enough. It's just done, pitched at a level where you can suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
And believe it. Unlike all these other shark films now, where you don't believe any of it for a second, so you don't give a shit about them. That's why this one matters.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm not picking it apart because it's not realistic enough for me. I was saying something completely different, to be fair.
No, I'm just saying saying that generally.
I do agree, though, there is parts of the film that could have been better. I feel like they did slack in some places. I don't know, to be honest, but I felt here and there was just a little part, like I said in my review at the beginning, that it makes sense that they went through a couple of directors maybe and people weren't always happy, this, that and the other. I also think maybe the studio didn't think it was going to make as much money as it did. I don't know if that's just for us, now we know about sequels.
Oh, so you don't think they invested enough
they
in the film in the first place?
They could have maybe put a little bit more money into it and made it a bit better here and there, but...
To be honest, most of the budget on a film, on a Jaws 2 film, you're only going to assume goes on the shark, though, right?
Else would you spend the money on? Isn't it?
Yeah, and it's at sea, you know? Yeah. I think definitely once it's all out on the water, that's the most compelling stuff, obviously. But the stuff on the island is just kind of like, just here's where Brody's at now. This is what's going on for him.
Yeah.
Which was interesting in itself. That's one of the things I liked about the film.
Yeah.
Because you don't necessarily think that way. You think, he's still the chief. You know, it's still a little island. You know, it's a one-off. They'll get over it. But he clearly hasn't.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, obviously this was mid-70s. And it is based in the 70s, right?
It's not just... Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's filmed in the 70s.
Yeah, so it's like, he's clearly, like, got PTSD, but has he had any kind of help with that, any kind of counselling, therapy, any kind of acknowledgement for this crazy thing that he's gone through, you know? And that obviously, I don't, you know, have, like, too much negatives to say about the wife. She seems perfectly nice, but I'm thinking, I don't think they've even talked about it.
Oh, I think they have. Would have shared that, yeah. I always like Ellen Brody's relationship with him because it feels like she doesn't take no nonsense from him. She's not some submissive wife. It feels like they have a good relationship.
I'm not saying that, but he's very secretive. Like, he's got these bullets that he's made and he's hiding them in the bathroom and stuff like that. He's not
poison bullets.
He's not being able, or for whatever reason, he doesn't feel able to let her in on his fears. It's like he can't show her that. And then when he's up in that tower and he's like desperately just trying to keep everyone safe, and she keeps looking up at him almost like tutting, like, I'm trying to impress these people here, Brody. What are you doing? Just get down. You're being ridiculous. It doesn't seem to be, they're not really like on a wavelength with each other of like, you know, yes, I'm the man of the household and, you know, I've got these responsibilities, but I'm also a human being. And, you know,
did you know in the book Jaws, Peter Benchley's book, which was written before the film, that she has an affair with Hooper when he comes to town. And they were going to include that in the film for a short while.
I'm quite glad they didn't.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It would be like, why is this even in here? But I guess in a book you've got a bit more time for that sort of thing.
True.
It wouldn't have made any sense here.
Yeah, but then you're bringing that up, I guess, because you're almost saying that maybe there is this emotional connection that's lacking.
Maybe. I like the relationship between them, though. I think it works quite well.
I'm just throwing a spanner in the works. But, I mean, he's gone through some really crazy stuff. And it is like everyone else around him is a little bit like, aren't you over this already? Like,
nobody takes him seriously because they're too happy-go-lucky here. He's like the big cop from the big city who's seen it all and is scared of he just believes there's danger around every corner, and these are the guys who live in a country who don't believe that anything could ever go wrong in their little town. It's a bit like Hot Fuzz. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I likened it to Halloween, didn't I?
Yeah, that's right.
He's the Laurie Strode, you know. He's saying, come on, people, we've been here before.
Yes.
But no one wants to see it.
Yeah.
Until it's literally hacking them to pieces.
It's that horror thing. I think this film, actually, Jaws 2, more than the first Jaws, it came out in the same year as Halloween. And this was, like, right at the beginning of these teen slasher films. Like, teen slasher films, that whole run through the 70s and 80s and stuff, they didn't exist, really, before this. And you can see the prototypes of it, with all the teens going out on this boat and this shark attacking them. Replicate that throughout so many slasher films throughout the 80s and even the 90s. This laid the blueprint for it.
Mm.
But anyway, we were so close to the end, so let's just quickly talk about the end here. So finally, Brody.
Yep, spoiler alert.
He tracks down Mike Hall, who's being carted back to shore by the two geeks.
He feels that light relief because he's thinking, relief. Thank God Michael's okay. Yes, he's been hit on the head. But then all of a sudden, he's told, oh, I know, actually, Sean's out there. And he's literally like, what?
He ain't
best
pleased.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Wouldn't you
be? I've got my wife sailing off back to the shore, and now I've got my son Michael, and I've still got to fucking stay out on this water. The
whole fucking family are in four different spots on that ocean at one point.
And he doesn't even know navigation. He's like, where the hell is this lighthouse? I don't know what I'm doing.
That's right. But somehow, he stumbles upon them. He finds them.
Somehow.
Yeah. And as he finds them, an attack takes place. The shark attacks, and he smashes his boat into Cable Junction. So he's fucked. And then the shark continues to attack. And then Brody, in his infinite wisdom, decides, I'm going to try and pull these boats over to me. But he pulls up a power cable instead.
But this had already happened, hadn't it?
When they were dredging, weren't they, whatever they were doing?
But was Brody on the boat then? He must have been.
No, he wasn't. He sent out his mate, didn't he? And the guy was like,
his deputy.
I have to?
Oh. So he just worked that all out.
Well, he did it by mistake. He was trying to drag that, whatever that winch was, he was trying to throw it over to the other boats, and then he was going to use the winch on his boat to pull them towards him where he was stranded. But instead it got stuck on something, and when he pulled it up, it was that power cable.
That's why it's called Cable.
Cable Junction. Cable, yeah, I never Junction. Even made that connection. I never even made that connection that's why there was a power cable there.
There you go.
And then, of course, the rest is history.
What do you think about this kill compared to the first kill?
I mean, the iconic smile you son of a bitch line in the first one is unbeatable, but I still fucking love this one.
I think the first one's just that little bit more creative in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
It's that whole just, like, making him bite on the gas canister.
Yeah, that is very good. Biting and then shoot the gas canister. Yeah. While, I mean, that was perfect, because he was
as he's just so, yeah. As he's sinking, it's his last opportunity.
Last opportunity before he goes underwater.
Kind of just feels like he gets him out first blow, bam, you're dead. It's like he's an expert now.
I know, but I liked it. He bit onto the cable.
To be fair, I liked it because it felt like his real heroic moment.
Yes.
Because he's essentially risking, because obviously he doesn't know how it's going to play out necessarily. So he's actually literally just there, allowing this fucking nightmare, exactly, to come right towards him. And I kind of liked it because I thought ultimately he's prepared to do that because it's going to save his son, or potentially save his son.
Yeah.
So he's just like, literally, come and get it. Yeah. And if I end up dying, because also he's holding the cable, like he manages to let go.
Yeah.
He must have let go right at the right moment, because otherwise he would have fried as well.
I don't know if it's intentional, but I guess he's in a rubber dinghy, which I can't remember science, but doesn't that mean that
it's not a conductor of electricity?
Exactly.
But is he in the rubber dinghy? Because I thought he was. But
also, water
right.
is
yeah,
very high conductor of electricity. So
exactly. It's still a risky game, but you know, yeah. He was trying to save his son, so for fuck it, come and get me.
Well, he was very ballsy. He says, "Smile, open wide, say ah," and then the shark bites down on it. I love that he has the time to do a quip right before a shark almost bites his head off. He has the time to go, "Say ah."
Might be the last thing he ever says, though.
I know, it's true.
So, it's got to be good.
And the shark does say, ah, and he electrocutes himself, and the shark...
In spectacular style.
Floats down to the bottom of the ocean, and then Brody goes and gets Sean, and they paddle over to Cable Junction, and the credits roll.
And that's that.
And then that was Jaws.
Two.
Hey. And I know all of that was like a recap of the plot, but basically all of that is the reasons why I enjoyed it so much. All of that is a hell of a lot of fun.
It's a good fun film, and it lives up to the first one.
Yes.
And it also kind of, if you took the first one away, it could almost be a standalone film. You don't have to be like, oh, I need to watch the first one to watch the second one.
That I would always like to see more shark films, because you don't have to be overly creative, just get the basics right. And the basics are, use a practical effect, don't use digital, and don't make it stupid like in an amusement park or in the rivers of Venice or something. Just set it
not
out
in a supermarket.
Yeah, exactly.
I was that's a say, good film though. Oh god,
well, it's not a good film. It's okay.
But you've got to have characters that you're willing to invest in, right? Because otherwise, it's like, who gives...
That's the most problem. The characters in these new shark films, they just seem to be idiots. And they're all terrible. They're always, like,
and then you're kind of happy.
They're always a couple of girls
killed.
Like traveling the world who go and explore a cove or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's always got to be beautiful young people.
Yeah.
And no one gives a shit about
I was reading
beautiful
that,
young
people. So in that book that you told me to read, the Easy Riders and Raging Bulls. They currently talk about Jaws, Spielberg doing Jaws.
Oh yeah,
the first one. And he said he picked, they wanted it to be all these big Hollywood celebrities at the time, like all the big male actors,
right.
Universal. And Spielberg was like, no, I want your average blue collar American. Like, these guys have got to be believable. This has got to be your sheriff from your town. So that's why he picked
these
actors that weren't big at the time.
No, exactly. And it worked.
They've got to look like your average man. They can't be like Jack Nicholson or all those people that they kept throwing forward at the time.
Yeah.
And also, he was persistent. They had to be shot in the water. He's like, if you put it in a tank, yes, we'll film it in half the time.
Yeah.
But it won't look as good.
Did you ever go to Disney, Adam?
Well, I've only been to Disneyland in Paris.
I went to, in 96, I was at Universal Studios, and I went on the Jaws ride, and it's very clever, considering I was 10 at the time and still scared of the movie, it was like living in the movie, because it begins as like a tour of Amity. You go on a little tour boat.
It's good, you're on a little boat, aren't you?
Yeah. It's great. Have you gone on the Jaws ride?
Yes, I certainly did.
What, in where? Which country?
Yeah, Universal Studios.
Oh, in Universal Studios? Oh, I didn't realise
that. Look at these two. You've been together for how long and you never knew this?
I know. I didn't realise that we both done it. Well, yeah, you're going on the little tour boat.
I think your memory of it is far better than my memory. I can just remember one key moment, obviously. That's all I can remember.
Well, it's a key moment from this film. Exactly. Because what happens is you're going round and you're touring this little Amity location, right? And then you start turning a corner. Because it's all shot in what looks like Amity. And you turn this corner, and then over the radio, you hear someone say, "We've lost signal from blah, blah, blah." No. It's actually the boat in front of you. And they start saying something about a shark, and then the radio cuts out. And as you turn the corner, a boat, which is identical to the one that you are in, is sinking up ahead. Right? So you're already shitting yourself a little bit, because you're like, oh, shit, I'm on this, that sort of boat. And as you get closer, a dorsal fin appears around the back of the boat and it starts moving towards your boat and then goes under the water. Very scary. That's clever. And then it bursts up next to you.
Indeed.
And then it bursts, you go into sort of like a boat shed, and then the shark starts smashing into the boat shed. And then after that, like the big climax, Adam, is that it bursts out of the water and bites onto the cable, like at the end of Jaws 2, and electrocutes and everything.
Yes.
I remember that. I went to Disneyland Paris and they had, I think it was like a backlog ride. Like you going around the back of the studios.
Right.
And they had a shark. I remember there was a shark catching fire and I can't remember if it was Jaws or it was just like there was like a whole thing, like a big earthquake scene happened and then like a whole motorway falls down and then like a shark comes out and it bites this like petrol tanker and then it blows up.
Whoa. That sounds like a merge of a couple of rides, because there's another ride in Disney. I can't remember what it is. Where
it was like
an
meant to be like,
as you say,
it
was meant to be
well.
Loads of bits from different films. Like they had like the Tower and Inferno there, and like all these bits of random films just in one ride, because it's meant to be like you were just at the back of the studios, like driving down the road where all the props are just left out, and then they all got to come alive. I think so. Anyway, it was like again, it was like it must have been about 12 years ago I did that, so.
Well, they should be more of that, and I suppose they've ripped that fucking ride down now and replaced it with Harry Fuckface Potter or something like that.
Yeah, I think they put the Finding Nemo ride there or something.
Yeah. But it was good fun, good enjoyable stuff, and yeah, in the third one, it follows Mike and Sean. They're grown adults.
I was going to say, don't move on to the third one, because I was going to say about this one, what do you think the moral of the story is? In terms of... Don't be a dick. Mm-hmm. But in terms
of... Don't open stuff if you're still 100% sure.
Well, I was going to say, in terms of, like, obviously we start with this guy who's been burnt before, like, he's got all these fears and anxieties. And then we've got these youths who want to just go out and live their lives, and soak up every day. You know, what is the moral of the story for the younger generations? What do they learn from it? And do they learn anything from it?
No, probably not. Because there's so many shark films, but it still happens.
Well, it's a perfect example of modern day scenario, because the older people who have been around a little bit, who are perhaps a little bit older, wiser, and more aware of the reality of situation, are at complete odds with a younger generation who don't have that appreciation for the significance and seriousness of the threat. And the only way that they get that is if they suffer from it firsthand.
Oh. It is almost saying that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, poor Sean, like, how old is he meant to be? 6 or something?
Yeah.
And he's literally watched, I mean, several people die, but especially that
girl.
He's
had to grow up pretty fucking quick.
That girl who's kind of like his mother for the day. You know, he literally not only sees her die, but knows that she has died because she was trying to save him. That's going
to
screw you up.
I hope he came and went on to do something well with his life.
Well, you'd hope so, right? Jesus.
It'd be like that bit in Fight Club when fucking Brad Pitt gets the guy behind the shop and he goes to pretend to murder him.
Yes, and now says that his food will taste better than it ever tasted tomorrow morning because he's had this close encounter. Well, you want me to tell you what happens to him in the next couple of films?
Yeah, go on, why not?
So in the third, in Jaws 3D, Michael works at SeaWorld with this woman, and like I told you the whole thing. And
so Michael's the older son, yeah?
Yeah. And is played by Dennis Quaid. It's the only time a star really ever appeared in these films. Dennis Quaid isn't that big.
But Michael Caine's in the fourth one, isn't he?
Oh yeah, Michael Caine's in the fourth one, that's true, sorry. How could I forget? But yeah, anyway, his younger brother Sean comes to visit him at the park as well, and then while they're at the park, the shark gets in, and it's just these two brothers against all odds. And yeah, it's pretty bad. But then in the fourth one begins with Sean out at sea. He's the new sheriff, I believe, of Amity, I believe. And he's out late at night doing something in the boat, and the shark attacks the boat and kills him immediately. And then Michael comes to town and trying to like be there for his mother, Ellen Brody, because Chief Brody's died.
Does he die in the third one?
Yeah, they don't even really talk about him in the third one, to be honest. They don't reference that he's dead, so he's just died, like, he's died of a heart attack by the fourth one.
I'm not surprised.
And then Ellen Brody, the shark is, basically, this is how ridiculous it is, but it's still so enjoyable because it's crazy, and the shark design is fucking fantastic in the fourth one, the best it's ever been. But Ellen Brody believes the shark is personally targeting her family, and in fact, that is what's happening. The shark follows her and her son as they move from Amity to Jamaica. The shark travels the ocean for her.
Nice. That's very Halloween, actually, isn't it?
It is. They're fun. The thing that works about them is they always take themselves seriously. That's why it works. If they were like, oh, come on, let's just be stupid and let's have a laugh. Mm. They never try and have a laugh. They're always like, no, we're making a shark movie here.
Mm.
And that's what works. Every other shark film that comes out now is trying to make you laugh. Sharknado and all of that. It's just trying to be stupid. Whereas these are like, no, Jaws.
Fair play. Wow. Gonna have to watch them then, aren't I?
You're gonna have to. Anyone got anything else to say about Jaws 2?
I have not got. I'm glad you made me revisit it, Ben.
Yeah. Very good.
You improved my memory of the film.
Okay, so we've also got some reviews from Letterboxd that showed a full spectrum of public opinion on this movie, from people who adored it to people who hated it. So, Adam, who loved it?
We have Daniel here. He gave the film a 9 out of 10. And they said, does everything Jaws does but better. The small town politics is actually engaging. The family drama is stirring. And the horror more visceral. The last half hour is a straight up thriller at sea. And one of the best at it. Easily the best of the series. Which is a
very
big
good
claim, I must say.
I mean, that is easily the best of the series
him
is a big claim.
I agree with him up until probably the best, easily the best of the series as well.
Yeah,
I can maybe understand if you thought it was the best, but I wouldn't say easily.
I mean, I can see why some people might prefer this to Jaws, because what you were saying at the start, Adam, I can imagine a lot of people actually going, oh, Jaws takes too long to build up. Whereas with Jaws 2, you got that shark all the way.
This is a bit more toned down in some ways. It's like a little bit, you can go into it enjoying it a bit more.
I agree. True.
Well, there we go. We like that, Daniel. And yes, it is a slasher at sea. Who is in the middle, Jenny?
We have Steve Price, who gives Jaws 2 a 6 out of 10. Not nearly on the level of the original, but still head and shoulders above the next two sequels. Some decent tense moments, but when the shark starts single-handedly wrecking fleets of boats and pulls a helicopter underwater, it flirts with a level of ridiculous, but never fully embraces it.
That's true. That's kind of what we're saying.
I don't maybe agree with the fully embrace it. I feel like it doesn't need to fully embrace that.
No, but I think what he's saying, I might be wrong, but I think what he's saying there is kind of what we were just saying there.
Maybe
about
the helicopter. You're not expecting a helicopter to drag a shark to drag a helicopter out of the sky.
Yeah, but like with him saying that, it flirts with being ridiculous,
yeah,
but it never goes completely ridiculous.
Exactly, it never loses its way.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant the film didn't embrace didn't deserve to be that ridiculous, if that makes sense. Like you said, the film takes itself seriously. So then the fact that you're watching a shark take a helicopter out of the sky is a bit like, well, this film doesn't... I don't think we were going there with this film. It films out of place. But
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's saying he likes a little bit of it, but it doesn't go too far.
Yeah. And yes, it is. I mean, it's not. It is nearly on the level of the original, I would say. The difference being the first is a 10 and this is an 8. How could anything ever have lived up or been on the level of the original?
Yes,
it would be impossible. I think it did well. And here's the lowest one. This is AJ, who gives it a 2 out of 10. The scariest part of the movie is that some madman thought Jaws 2 needed to be nearly 2 goddamn hours long. This movie is so boring it could be used as torture. The shark, the titular Jaws 2 himself, bites into a big electrical wire and bursts it into flames and then just sinks. What the hell? Why burn a shark if you're not going to explode it? This movie put me in a coma, and right as I thought I'd wake up, it put me right back to sleep. The only reason this gets 1 star instead of a half star is because there is a shark and he does eat people, so technically it does deliver on its concept, even though it's in the most agonizingly boring way possible.
That is harsh. Extremely harsh.
So harsh. So harsh.
So boring it could be used as torture. Wow.
I mean, that's madness. If someone wanted to torture me and put Jaws 2 on, I'd say thanks. Cheers for that.
Jeez. Yeah, he wasn't impressed, was he?
Well, but I ain't impressed with AJ.
I don't feel like the shark needs to explode either.
No, if it exploded, I mean, it exploded in the first one. You don't want a shark to explode every fucking time, do you?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Anyway, that was our people. That was what they had to say. We need to place this in our overall film list. So it's 7.7. We've got 6 7.7s. So, starting from the bottom, working way up, you tell me if it's better or worse then. Melancholia is better than that for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorcerer, tough, but it is better than that for me.
Yeah, I'd rather watch this than Sorcerer.
Okay, Mission Impossible Fallout, I'd rather watch this.
Yes.
Toy Story 4, I'd rather watch this.
Oh, Paul's going to wish he was here. Yes, I know. This is better than Toy Story 4.
Okay, Birds of Prey is better than that.
Yeah.
And Bug is better than that.
Yeah.
So
I think this is one of the first times a film has gone up past every film in a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Has that ever happened? Wow.
I don't think it ever has. You heard it happening there live and direct, listeners. It was a 7.7, and we just went all the way through all our other 7.7s, and it's bumped
all of them
down. And it sits top of the 7.7.
I'll wait till Paul finds out that we went past Toy Story.
I know. It pushed down Toy Story 4.
Even if he was here, though, our vote would have outruled him. Our 2-1.
Do you know what's upsetting, though? Is that directly above it, apart from Beautiful Thing, that's okay, is Infinity War and Avengers Endgame. That makes me cross.
So where does this feel on our overall, like, do you know where it is on our overall out of?
Yeah, so out of how many films have we seen on this book? We've done 90 films. This is our 90th film today. Okay. Wow. So of the 90 films we have covered for this podcast, this places at number 38. So it's almost in the top third.
Okay, still, and then where good. Does the Meg place?
The Meg is...
It's probably be like 82 or something like that, I want to say.
The Meg is 5th from bottom, so 85. That's good.
That's where it belongs.
That is where it belongs. So
look
there
at
you
the
go.
Difference, man.
Our second shark film, and I'm very happy that it positioned quite well. The fact that it got over a 7 average is a win for me. I like that. I'll take that.
I honestly didn't think I was going to like it as much as I did on the rewatch.
There you go. It's very watchable, mate.
I was toying with a 7, but I was like, no. I enjoyed that too much to be a 7.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair to me, I would have given it a 7.5, but we're not allowed to do that.
No, you love those points.
Sorry, I know.
You and OT.
Yeah, I know. You talked about it last time, and it's like, fair enough, because then it just gets a bit stupid, but...
You and OT with the 0.5s. All right. Okay, well...
If you had, like, a five... If we're doing it out of five, I'll let you have half a point. But the fact we've already given you 10 rankings,
I know,
now,
I know.
You don't technically need 20.
It's just greedy. It's wanting
gonna,
to do
I'm
it out of 20.
I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue.
You don't need a 20 different point scoring system.
Yeah, no. Fair play. That's all right. Why it gets a 7. Don't I get to influence something as
oh,
well?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So, listeners... As Jenny rightly says, thank you for picking that up. Because she is a guest on the podcast, and as all guests on our podcasts are granted this little bonus, she has the power to add her score out of 10 to any other film that we've covered on the podcast, potentially adjusting its place in our rankings. So, Jenny, what is the film that you've picked first, and then tell us the rating?
Thank you muchly. So Ben obviously saw that I was having to make this decision earlier, but he has no clue what film I have chosen.
No, I don't.
I took my time because it wasn't easy, and I was torn between two films that I personally felt had been unfairly rated too low. I can say both of the films. So
But you can only influence one, say both, yes.
But the two films that I was torn between was Pan's Labyrinth, which I had never seen before until I saw it before you guys did the podcast. And the other one was Eraserhead, which I had also not seen before the podcast. So I had a little think, and it's got to be Eraserhead.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay.
Got to be Eraserhead, because if I remember rightly, I feel like this is down as a 7.
It's actually overall. Down as a 6.7 overall, which is criminal.
See, that is criminal.
Yes,
so
thank you.
I've got to bump this up.
So what'd you give it then?
I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Jenny. So,
but I remember I gave it a 6. I think Paul gave it a 6, and you gave it a
6, Adam. Paul gave it a 5, and I gave it a 9. So Jenny's joining me on the 9, and this is really going to change the rankings now. So what's the score? 29 divided by 4.
Paul's going to hate me.
No, Paul's giving that 5. He's outrageous. So what that does is it takes it from a 6.7 slot. It moves it to the 7.3 slot. Eraserhead becomes our... 40, I think it's our 45th positioned film.
Slap bang in the middle, then.
Which means it's, yes, slap bang in the middle of our entire catalogue.
Nice.
And funnily enough, not too far away from Jaws 2, because Jaws 2...
is 7 or 8 up the top there, isn't it?
Yeah, only 7 or 8 above. Anyway, that was very good.
Paul's going to put that together somehow.
Paul will stitch that together. He'll work some magic. So, listen, this has been very fun, but one final thing that we need to do is quickly go over to Patrons Corner, where our patrons tell us what they've been watching recently.
Who's left us a review this week?
Well, I left it very last minute, as I have done recently, so we've only had time for one patron to come forward.
Who
but it's
it?
The very lovely Jamie Russell, of course.
Oh, Jamie's done it, okay.
Jamie has been watching... well, I'll tell you, he says, I would strongly recommend The Innocents, a 1961 film, a fantastically atmospheric and creepy adaptation of Henry James, The Turn of the Screw. Great performances all round, in particular from the two children, and a gradual descent into gothic psychological torment ensues. I haven't seen this film, but I have seen little clips of it, and it does look creepy.
Sounds intriguing.
Yes, I wanted to see it. I think I had that book, The Turn of the Screw, when I was younger, but I never read it. But I want to watch them. Well, if you want to watch it, you can watch it, and then we can talk to Jamie about it, because our next episode is a patron appearance, and we'll be joined by Jamie.
Yes.
And we are going to be covering a film of Jamie's choosing, and it is called... The Vanishing.
Yes. Not the remake, though, as he quite clearly pointed out.
That's right. I think it's a Dutch film or it's a Danish film, but he has given us very explicit instructions. He said not to do any reading into it because he wants to just watch it, come on a show, and he'll talk to us
back
about it.
Back around blind, yeah?
We're going back around blind. So we very much look forward to that. So before we sign off, let's just say thank you once again to Jenny for joining us today and for stepping into Paul's shoes. Thank you very much.
You've been a great replacement for him.
Oh, thank you for having me again. Some I might say better. It. Oh, well, we don't need to go there, but thank you for having me.
You cause less arguments.
Paul will be chastising your name as he hears this now.
Oh, well, I'm happy. I'm happy to keep his spot warm until he comes back.
Yes. Just well, don't be going having a baby so then you can't record.
There's no chance of that.
There you go. Don't worry about that business. We'll be recording till Kingdom Come.
You got your little putty cat.
Exactly. Maximus is enough.
If you were in a Jaws film and you were you got to kill the shark, how would you kill the shark and what would be your
anything
line?
That's possibly near me. I'm not planning it out. I'll just grab anything and do it.
What would be your final line?
Oh.
You're sleeping with the fishes, motherfucker.
Yeah, fine. That's fine. I would use the propeller blades of the boat and I would spin the back of the boat round. And as I spin round, I would say, cut loose sometime. That's what I would do.
That is proper cheesy.
On that note, I think we should finish.
Yeah.
We haven't heard how Jenny's going to kill the shark and say the line.
Yeah, but I can't come up with no snappy line. I was going to say I would use fireworks. There would be some handy fireworks nearby.
Yeah, you got a flare gun. Shoot a flare down its mouth and go lighten up.
There you go.
There we go. Adam did it for me.
And that's how we kill sharks at the Film Busters podcast. See you all next time. Film Busters.